Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, in about 2020, when I would predict that there would eventually be a conservative backlash, a right-wing backlash against woke, that there would be some kind of significant backlash, people would either say, no, that'll never happen, this will go on forever and we'll all be prisoners, or they would say, well, when? Tell me when. Give me a year. When will there be the conservative backlash that you predict? When will there be the great conservative rising up? When will things flip over and there'll be the usual snowballing process, which is when things flip over, then people who are intelligent, they notice the flip has happened, they notice it, and they get on board very, very quickly to get the most benefits out of getting in there and getting the best returns early in the day. When will it happen? And I was never able to say, because there's too many variables involved, but it is evidently happening. And the promotion, essentially, of Nick Fuentes, who I've had on this channel and is a highly intelligent guy, as far as I'm concerned, but also an agent provocateur, in a sense. Also, a person that likes to stir things up, let's put it like that, to polarise people, is very good evidence of that. And I actually said in my 2022 book, The Past is a Future Country, I think I wrote there, that we will see the percolation upwards into positions of power of Nick Fuentes types. And this is kind of evidently what we're seeing. Now, I'm not surprised by this process, and I want to look in a minute at how the process works. And I also want to respond, tell you my thoughts on the interview I've just watched between him and Piers Morgan, the British tabloid journalist. But before I do so, could you do me a favour? Could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you leave a like, hit the bell button, leave a comment? And could you subscribe on my Substack, that's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most base stuff that I can't put on YouTube, in-person interviews, blogs, vlogs, films I make, and where if you like what I do, you can support me with the cost of just a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, first of all, before we look at the interview itself, what has actually happened? Or what happens as there is a backlash? And we can speculate on why. Various things, I suspect, have come together to speed this up. COVID, and people therefore doubting what those in authority have to say. BLM, and them trying to contain that, and therefore people doubting what those in authority have to say. The trans movement, and therefore people feeling that they are being pressured to say things they don't feel comfortable saying, and therefore start doubting those that are telling them to say these things. All of these things appear, financial crisis and that kind of thing, the war, all of these things have come together to make people much more sceptical of those in authority, and therefore much more sceptical of the morality which they use to uphold themselves and to signal that they are the most virtuous, and so many people feel that their needs are not met in terms of group oriented foundations, in terms of sanctity, in terms of obedience to traditional authority, in terms of in-group loyalty in a traditional way. And they start to notice that other people feel the same way gradually via social media, via the polarisation effect of the woke, whereby if you don't agree with us, then you're completely cancelled, and therefore this forces you to find other people as comrades who are similar to you in a way you wouldn't previously have done. All of these things have come together to mean that people feel safer to question the regime, as it were, safer to question regime ideas. Now, once that happens, of course, then you get a snowball effect where people start to, in order to get status, and the most status, competitively baseness signal, competitively bravery signal, competitively try to show just how anti-woke, as it were, they are in order to gain status. But it has to be done so optimally. You can't do so to too extreme a degree, because then you still will be cancelled. So you put out feelers as to how far you can get. Now, this is what Tucker Carlson did. And he obviously was clever enough to calculate, or to just probably just instinctively know, that the Nick Fuentes interview would pay off. Now, once that has happened, of course, he's crossed the line. The Rubicon has been crossed. And people who are far more cowardly then feel, oh my God, I need to compete. I need to be edgy. And they also feel, well, look, clearly I'll get a bit of nasty feedback, but it won't be that much. I'll be okay. So Tucker was the genuinely brave person that went for it, that took a serious risk by having Nick Fuentes on, which has paid off. And once those brave individuals do it, then, of course, it's the less brave individuals that are more risk-averse that get on board because they see that they can get that optimum balance between seeming brave and seeming edgy, and also attaining having status and having wealth and not being completely attacked. And that's what we have in the form of Piers Morgan. So now he's come on the Piers Morgan show. Now, there's two things I want to... So it's showing you how mainstream he's becoming, and I'm told that now Trigonometry, who are just absolutely just pretend to be edgy, but then have people on like Stephen Fry, are contemplating having him on. And it's got to a point where, of course, it's more in their interest than it is in his. He can be very selective about whose show he wishes to go on. It doesn't really matter anymore. It mainstreams him, I suppose, if he goes on these shows. But it's he doesn't need the promotion. He's done that while being completely excluded and off all mainstream platforms and so on. So, I mean, it was very interesting, the interview. I mean, the main points were that he confronted him. He attacked his father. And this sort of riled Nick Fuentes. It's actually his father, because Fuentes had made a remark about his father's casual racism. And he attacked this. And this was the only point at which Piers Morgan really had one over on him, because it was quite legitimate. And there wasn't very much that Fuentes could say other than that you are being unreasonable by attacking your father. But by attacking my father. But on everything, in terms of immigration and so forth, we have Piers Morgan using these fallacious arguments where he pretends he can't understand statistics, or perhaps he really can't understand statistics, can't understand the concept of per capita, can't understand maths at all. It was absolutely pathetic, Fuentes just ran rings around him. He was better prepared. He was more intelligent. I was fascinated at the point at which Piers Morgan demonstrated he didn't know the difference between infer and imply, which is extraordinarily ignorant to not know the difference between the word infer and imply. And you use a high-order word like infer because you think it makes you sound clever, and you don't actually know what it means. So I found he usually used the word disgusting a lot. Again, is he sort of aiming this at a not very intelligent audience? Because those are the kinds of people that tend to use the word disgusting in my experience. Or is it just that his vocabulary isn't really good? It can't be that. I mean, he was a tabloid journalist. Surely he must have a good vocabulary. He would say absurd things like, oh, I know what a multicultural society is like. I live in London. Well, he lives in Kensington. He lives in the wealthiest part of London, where he is surrounded by very, very wealthy people. He lives in a bubble. Or he would say, oh, my son went to the University of Chicago. I understand Chicago. University of Chicago, as Nick Fuentes pointed out, is a bubble. All he was able to really get out of Fuentes was that, yeah, Fuentes puts on a persona of being edgy and so forth for his audience. But when you get him sat down, he's much more reasonable and much more intelligent and much more analytical. And he just ran rings around him. What I found more interesting about this, really, was just kind of the psychology of Piers Morgan. Who is Piers Morgan? He was born in Guildford in Surrey. So this is a lovely and overwhelmingly white area even now. His father died when he was 11 months old. So this is exactly the kind of thing that's going to cause trauma, that's going to cause insecurity, that's going to cause a sort of a need for an extreme sense of identity that's going to be reflected in black and white thinking. His mother then remarried to somebody by the name of surname Pugh Morgan, and he took on the father's surname, although he eventually, when he went into tabloid journalism, dropped the Pugh bit. I guess to sound less posh. He went to private school, at least for his primary school, but for some reason he never went to university, and he went straight into journalism. It has been a very successful career. At a relatively young age, he was the editor of the Daily Mirror, which is a major left-wing tabloid in the UK. In 2004, however, he was forced to resign because he wouldn't apologise for running faked photographs with regard to the Iraq war. And he is a person that changes his identity, in relation to the given situation. So he is the ultimate example, I think, of a very socially skilled person, I suppose, or at least perhaps high in dark triad traits, psychopathy or whatever, that can look around the world and notice the way the wind is blowing and optimally get on board in order to attain the optimum benefits from so doing. And that is why he has chosen to interview Nick Fuentes at this stage. And that, I think, is one of the most interesting things about it, that Piers Morgan has done this. Because he is a bellwether. He is like the Marquis of Winchester during the Reformation, the man who managed to be Catholic all the time and then accept Henry VIII as head of the Church of England and then be fundamentalist Protestant Calvinist under Edward VI and then be a Catholic under Queen Mary and then be an Anglican under Elizabeth I. And he was one of Henry VIII's only ministers, who was a minister all the way until the time of Elizabeth, who managed to avoid losing his head or losing his lands or losing his titles or whatever. This is a Vicar of Bray. You know the song, The Vicar of Bray? This is the law I will maintain until my dying day, sir, that whatsoever king shall reign, I'll be the Vicar of Bray, sir. This is what we're dealing with Piers Morgan. And so the fact that someone as unprincipled as that has Fuentes on is showing us the way the wind is blowing in a fairly major way. In the early 90s, when Labour in England were considered an absolute laughingstock, and the Sun ran a headline on the election day in 1992 with Neil Kinnock's face as a light bulb saying, if Kinnock wins today, will the last person to leave Britain please turn out the light? Then he's saying, I'm a Tory. Then, a few years later, with the rise of New Labour and Tony Blair, suddenly, oh, he's Labour. He's Labour. He's proto-woke. He's multiculturalism. He's everything that's in at the time. He's the in thing. Then much more recently, he starts saying, oh, well, ultimately, I'm a bit left-wing, but I'm a leftist, but the left have gone too far. This wokeness has gone too far. And he starts saying that at exactly the right time. He is a bellwether, and he is about popularity, a weather vane, I'm sorry, and he is about popularity. He is about popularity. One of the things that he did in the interview, which was very interesting, was he confronted Nick Fuentes about provocative, humorous things that he'd said about Hitler being cool with a video recording of a friend of his who is a Times journalist who is Jewish called Danny Finkelstein. And it was very interesting the way he did it. He had Finkelstein go, hi, Piers, you know, as though they are mates, and then had him say his piece about how all these terrible things that had happened to his family due to Hitler, who have been praised by Nick Fuentes. That is what he does. He is obsessed with popularity. In England, there is a satirical magazine called Viz. And he is a running character. He hasn't even been in it for a while. Called Piers Dorgan. And what it focuses on is the extent to which he brags about all the important people he knows. So we say here, I remember the moment, better than most, I was sat in my £55,000 Philip PN Icon Limited Edition sofa when the news flash burst onto my screen. The television I was watching was a Samsung 98 QN990C Neo QLED 8K 8UHDR smart TV, which had cost me the thick part end of £35,000 in Harrods. I had bought that model, for cash naturally, on the recommendation of my very good friends Elizabeth Taylor, Ray Butch Wilkins, Roald Dahl, Anthony Worrell Thompson, Burt Kwok, Eddie Large and Sterling Moss. Incidentally, the eagle-eyed among my readers may note that the model of my television wasn't available 3 decades ago, but it certainly was for me. And then there's other bits in this where he talked about I was not only with him. I was also at that time very good friends with AJ Giroux, Jeremy Beadle, Clint Eastwood, Percy Thrower, Jan Leeming, the artist formerly known as Prince, her out of Vera, and Todd Carty. That's what he does. So, and there is some truth in that. He always promotes, oh, I'm friends with Donald Trump. I'm friends with whatever. So this man is the ultimate weather vane. This man is the test of what's going on. If this man is prepared to have Nick Fuentes on, then it is acceptable to have Nick Fuentes on, and it is acceptable for his views to at least be discussed in essentially polite, slightly left-wing society, and it is acceptable for him to essentially be kind of taken seriously. That's how it is. He's gone from a cordon sanitaire where he's a YouTuber, he's not the leader of a political party or anything, he has no democratic mandate, we don't give this person a platform, to we give this person a platform if only to make out that we're interrogating his views and showing that he's wrong. Whereas in reality, of course, Piers does not show he's wrong. He cannot show he's wrong. Piers produces no logical logical arguments. He produces manipulative arguments where he pretends he cannot understand basic mathematics. That's basically all he does. Nick Fuentes wiped the floor with him. So the fact that he's on there tells, I suspect, this is the start. And if this is the start of Nick Fuentes being a part of essentially mainstream society, this is the start of the Groypers being a part of mainstream society. This is the start of the points that he made, that he makes about various subjects being much more openly discussed. And so something tells me, and I don't like to predict the future because there's so many variables involved, other than quite vaguely, something tells me that this is only going to continue unless Fuentes does something very stupid. And he gives me the impression that he's not going to do that because it gets to a point now where you can't get him. He just owns the liberal critique. He just says, yeah, I'm a racist. Whatever. He refuses to... And that's how... I think that's a very good point. That's how you argue with them. Once you start defending yourself against their moral charges, then you are accepting that their morality matters, that their morality is meaningful, that they mean what they say, that they are genuine. What you have to say is, no, your word racist is a manipulative word that is there to shut up debate. All the evidence is that there's no differences in your behaviour and the people on the right. You are hypocrites, you are virtue signalers, you are disingenuous, you are bad actors. And I will not even argue, I don't have your morality. We have no shared moral starting point. None. And then they can't really get at you. And that's what Fuentes did. He simply mocked him and laughed at him and owned his criticisms. And once you do that, once you're above being manipulated by them, there's nothing they can do because all they have is manipulation. So I suspect this will carry on.
Are you ready for the future of the West?